Father, we just begin our time this morning, as we always do, God, coming before your throne and bowing and acknowledging you as Lord of life, sovereign ruler, most high God. You are the God of all glory. And yet we can come right into your throne room. You tell us to come boldly. It's just amazing, ladies, that you and I together collectively can just pause, enter in, acknowledge our wonderful God, worship him in all of his majesty, bowing before him, just confessing how needy we are in our day. God, we need your word, and this time on Sunday mornings is critical in our lives, that we might know your word, that we might rehearse your word, that we might live your word, that we might be women who communicate your word and point others to your word. And so, Father, this morning, speak to us very personally, because, God, we are thirsty this morning. Are you thirsty in your heart to hear from the living God? I pray that you are. We are so needy before you, God. So say something very personally to us this morning. Refresh us as we come to your word. Fill us up. Encourage our hearts. We need encouragement. Do you need encouragement this morning? I do. And Father, I just pray this morning that you would help me to communicate this lesson effectively. Thank you for the book of Ephesians. Thank you for everything that is in it. May we know it. May we live it. May we have a handle on it. May we rehearse its truths as we go in life from this day forward. And Father, I pray for all the homes represented in this room. Father, we are needy before you. Lord, I pray for Shirley as she faces surgery this week. We pray for our church as we go into renovation, for it to go smoothly. I pray for sweet Terry as she stands up tonight to share her story in Girlfriend Cafe. She would just bless her and speak through her. Be real through her. Help her to be transparent as she just lays her life open and shares what you've meant to her. And Father, we've all got needs in this room. We've all entered in this room with concerns. We're all the center of different worlds. And God, our worlds are needy worlds. Our children are needy. Our grandchildren are needy, Father. Our country is needy. Our world is needy. And we just come into your throne room this morning, Father. What a blessing to pray boldly for our worlds. And God, just speak to us that we might be effective ministers in our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Ephesians chapter 6, and I think it's verse 17, but I forgot to write down that reference, so just find it as I start reading. Y'all have to give me grace this morning. 18, verse 18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then Paul says this, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, and make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Now today we come to the close of this wonderful book. And as I said, this is our 39th lesson. And victory in warfare involves a tremendous commitment to prayer. How are you doing in your prayer life? Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Do you wish you had a more exciting, a more committed prayer life? I do. Well, that's what Paul is saying in this closing verses. He's saying, that prayer is going to be the theme now as we end the letter. Do you know the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War? Well, one part of that it says, putting on the gospel armor, each piece put on with what?
Prayer.
And you see all the pieces of the armor. Now, what are they? What was the first piece? It's the belt of truthfulness. Then it's the breastplate of righteousness. And then it is the what?
Shield
of faith. And then you put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, and then you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But woven into all of those parts of the armor now is prayer. All through the process of arming ourselves, we do it through prayer. We've got to be engaged in prayer. And that's why, I mean, I really think prayer is the other offensive weapon. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then you have all prayer. So all of those pieces we put on with prayer. Prayer is to be the very air we breathe. Prayer is to be the very air that we breathe. It's the atmosphere in which all of our living happens. And you know, when the battle gets tough, there are several things that might happen if we don't pray. We might faint. Have you ever just felt like fainting in the battle? Have you ever gotten weary in the battle? Have you ever just felt like you wanted to throw the towel in and give up and just completely go AWOL and abandon the fight? You see, I love what Jesus said in Luke 18:1. He said this, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Another version says it this way, men ought always to pray and not faint. In our spiritual warfare then, we can either pray or we can lose heart and faint. And I've shared with y'all, discouragement is a way Satan really works in my life. And it's a real temptation just to lose heart. Get discouraged. Lose your spiritual fervor. Lose your energy, your enthusiasm. And so I'm telling you this morning, prayer is vital in warfare. Now the book of Ephesians, probably more than any other book in the Bible, presents the believer and the believer's resources. And it is just a long cataloging in that book, more than any other book in the New Testament, all that is ours as Christians. And we saw that little phrase, in Christ, in Him. It'd be wonderful just to do a little study in Ephesians on your own. Go through and see what everything that Paul says is yours in Christ. In Him, through Him, by Him. Take those phrases. Make a list. We see all of our resources are in Christ. We're blessed. We saw right there in the very first chapter, verse 3, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We started out in Ephesians just as high as you could get. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. That's us. We see all of our resources there in Christ. It's a monumental cataloging of all that is yours. And so it starts in the heavenlies in chapter 1, and it ends in chapter 6 with the Christian on his knees in prayer. And prayer becomes the key to appropriating all of these wonderful resources that are ours in Christ. Now let me just share with you as part of a review some of the things we saw. Verse 3, chapter 1, we're super blessed. 4 through 6, chapter 1, we are super loved. Verse 7, chapter 1, we're forgiven. We're redeemed. Verse 8, just let these wash over you. We are given wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 11 says we're made rich. Verse 13, chapter 1, we're secure and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, 4 through 6, we're alive with new life. Verse 7, chapter 2, we are the objects of God's eternal grace. Verse 10, chapter 2, we are God's masterpieces. I love that. We are His workmanship. He's painting a picture through you that is an absolute masterpiece. And we're called to a life of good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world that you would walk in. He knew exactly what day you would be living. You're living in this generation, and He's got good works. He wants you to be walking out in their works that He prepared before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? Verses 13 through 18, we're one with God, and we're also one with every other Christian. Verse 19, chapter 2, we're members of God's intimate family. Verse 22, same chapter, we're the very temple of His Holy Spirit. Verse 20, we are powerful beyond what we can imagine or think. Verse 21, we're able to glorify God. How amazing. I mean, all the things God has done for us, beyond anything we could even ever imagine or think. And when you move from there into chapter 4, it just keeps on going. Verse 3, we possess the living Spirit of God. 4 through 6, we're members of the body of Christ. 11 through 13, we've received gifts, and we've also received gifted men in our church to perfect us to do the work of ministry. Verses 20 through 24, we have Jesus to teach us to walk this new life. Moving into chapter 5, we've received the love of God so that we can walk in love. We've received light. We've received wisdom, verse 15 through 17. And then verse 18, the mountain peak of the whole book. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And you see, we've received that ability to be completely full, continuously, with the Spirit of God so that we can walk in a way that brings Him honor and glory. We have received the resources that is going to make every human relationship what God intended it to be. Remember, we talked about marriage. We talked about children. We talked about the workplace. And then finally, in 6, 10 through 17, what we've just finished studying, the warfare, we've received this invincible, fantastic, powerful armor against which Satan is absolutely helpless if we but put it on and use it. And it climaxed in the sword of the Spirit, this magnificent weapon that is given to us, the Word of God. The Word of God. Amazing. Amazing. Now, Betty, I just realized I didn't give you time to say goodbye, but help me through that at the end. I knew there was something I forgot. So we see God has given us everything we need. It's been given to us. But it still depends on Christ. I mean, I still, even though I know all these things and it's fabulous, I still live my life daily in this unbelievable dependence upon God. Now, how do I do that every day? I do it every day through prayer. I don't just say, God, that's so good. I got all that good stuff and it's mine. No, I appropriate it every day by depending, totally relying on Him in prayer. So Paul is ending this way with prayer because I need God. You see, the armor is not something magical or mechanical. That armor needs to be infused with the power of God every day. His power, His energy working in my life. And I don't want to just have a head knowledge of these truths. I don't want to be able just to write down these principles and be satisfied with just knowing these things. You see, I've got to have a heart that is passionate about prayer because I'm dependent upon the power of God in my life. And it's a daily thing. So this letter begins in the heavenlies and it ends in prayer. Because everything we've learned now is dependent upon prayer. Now, go back to verse 18 there in chapter 6. And we see four alls in that verse. That's what we're going to be looking at mostly in our lesson this morning. It says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You see those four alls there in that verse? Let's just start by asking a question. I'm going to ask this question first. When are we to pray? All times. Write it down. All times. There is no time in our lives which we should not be in prayer. There is to be an always character to prayer. When the church was born in the book of Acts, the apostles said, we've got to give ourselves continually to the word and to prayer. That's got to be our number one priority. In Acts 10, it says of Cornelius, he was a devout man and he prayed to God always. In Romans 12:12, it says, you need to continue diligently in prayer. In Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just tops it all up. Pray without what? Ceasing. Now, how do we live this kind of an all-prayer life? Well, what does that look like? Does that mean I just get in my closet and I never come out? No. This is what it means. It means this. You're simply living your life in what I want to call God consciousness. You're living your life and you're practicing the presence of God all the time. You're living your life before God. He's your audience. He's seeing everything on display in your life. And I have a consciousness of that. As I'm going to the grocery store, as I'm working in my home, no matter what I'm doing, I'm aware, God, you're my audience. And I have this constant communion with God. Now, are you walking your whole life in this way? In just a constant communion, a constant communication. Everything that I see and do in my life just simply becomes a prayer before God. That's what he's talking about here. I'm living before him, conscious of his presence, communicating with him instantly in every circumstance. I'm practicing his presence. Something good comes along. Oh, God, thank you. That's just so good. You know why every good and perfect gift comes from him? I just say, thank you, God. I'm getting a new granddad. Thank you, God. Something evil I see. It grieves my heart. I just say, Jesus, please come back. End this. Do you ever feel that way? I'm so hurt over the evil of our generation, and the needs of our generation are so tremendous. And we're living in such darkness, it just makes me cry out to God in prayer. God, how can I shine brighter? God, help me in this world. Jesus, just please come back. Please come back. Make things right. Someone I see, I know, needs the Lord. Oh, God, would you open their eyes? I know they need you. They're just in darkness. Shine on them. I get in a problem. I get in trouble. Happens quite frequently. I cry out to God, oh, God, deliver me. I don't have a brain. Help me. I make mistakes all the time. And you see, what I'm saying is life just turns into this constant communication with God. All my thoughts, all that I'm doing, all of my circumstances, I'm just living my life constantly in open communication with God. This is the way we are to live. Now, that is what it means to set your affections on things above, to think about Christ. To have his conscience presence in your minds at all times. And when you do that, everything in life becomes a prayer. Everything. Just living your lives. Fellowshipping with God, who is your heavenly Father. Communing with him. Running to him. Now, Colossians 4:2, I told you, says continue in prayer. That means be steadfast. Be constant. Really hang in there. Persevere. It's not just kind of dropping a prayer to God every now and then, but it's just letting prayer be a way of life. Having your heart open to God at all times. Jesus gave two illustrations of this in Luke 11 and Luke 18. In one, he talked about the unjust judge, and there was this woman, and she kept coming, and she kept begging him, and begging him, and begging him, and finally the unjust judge did what she wanted. And it's like the Lord is saying, if an unjust judge will do that and give something to someone who's persistent, what do you think a just God will do to his own child if they persist in prayer? And then you remember the guy out of Luke 13? He comes at night to the store owner. He bangs on the door, and he bangs on the door, and he bangs on the door because he needs bread. And the man says, go away. I'm in the bed with my wife and my children. I'm not getting up. And he keeps banging, and he keeps banging, and he keeps banging. And finally he gets up, and he gives the man the bread. And it's like Jesus is saying, if a sleeping man who's tucked in asleep will come down and give bread to somebody banging on his door, what do you think a loving father will give to a son who has a need? You see, keep persisting. That's the point of the parables. Be faithful in your prayers. Life is to be a constant exercise in prayer. Now, so when do we pray? Always. Always. Whatever is happening in life each day, that just ascends to God in a prayer. Now, I want you to practice this next week. I want you to live your life openly before God. Be God conscious. Practice His presence. He's in you. Your life is open and laid bare before Him, is what Hebrews 4 says. And just constantly talk to Him. Practice His presence in your life. Now, then, what are we to pray? Well, it says this, pray with all prayer and petitions. Now, what does he mean by all prayer and petitions? Well, very simply, it means all kinds. I just put as many down as I can think of. Pray on your knees, pray with your hands folded, pray with your hands up, pray with your eyes closed, pray with your eyes open, pray out loud, pray in your heart, pray public, pray private, do loud cries, quiet whispers. Pray when you're driving, pray when you're walking, pray when you're seated. Pray when you're cooking, pray when you're ironing, pray when you're folding the clothes, pray when you're cleaning the toilet. Pray when you're at work, pray when you're at class. Pray while you when you get up, pray when you go to bed. Be deliberate in your prayers. Pray planned prayers or just pray spontaneous prayers. Pray requests, pray thanksgivings, confessions, and praise. I was going through a really tough time with one of my children back when they were growing up. I felt God say to me, Teresa, I want you to get up at 6 in the morning and pray for that child. I got up at 6 and I started writing out my prayers because sometimes at 6 I'm a little foggy. I got a big notebook. I started writing out my prayers, just writing them out. That was just a wonderful experience. And then when I got through writing out the prayers, you know what I did? I said, now God, what do you want me to do? And I sat still and I listened. And I felt God saying to me, do this. I'd write it down. I felt God say, do this. Right? I said, oh, that's so good. That's a good idea. I'll write that down. How else can I do? And see, just make it intentional. All kinds of praying. Pray at all times, in all ways. That's what he's saying. He means just pray through the whole flow of life. You're living your life totally opened up to God. Doesn't that sound good? And our lives are just to be open communication every waking moment. Fellowshipping with Him. Constant prayer. And then he says we must be on the alert at all times. With all perseverance and petition. That's the idea of really stay with it. Hang in there. Really continue and persevere. Pray continuously while you're watching. While you're watching. You see, prayer is to be alert to the issues. Alert to what's happening around us. Keeping alert so that I can see what's needful. What needs to be prayed for. Praying specifically so that, you know, when I get that answer prayer, I can give God specific glory. I want to watch. I want to be alert. Do you know what's going on in the lives of the people who are around you? I mean, seriously. Are you alert? Do you ask them what's going on? How can I pray for you? We must look out rather than always looking in. Oh, we're just such a self-centered generation, aren't we? We know what our own problems are. We think about our own problems. We talk about our own problems. But that's not really where we need to spend our time in prayer. We need to spend our time praying for others. Looking out. Being watchful. Seeing other people's needs. What are the needs in the kingdom of God? What do I need to be praying for? We need to lose ourselves in the needs of other people. You know what Paul said? I love this. He said to the church at Ephesians, I pray for you night and day with tears. Is there anybody you're praying for night and day with tears? We are to be persevering, intense, continuing, steadfast, watching, praying, being alert to the needs of those around us. And by the way, let's just get past the physical. Would you please pray for Mama's rheumatism? And by the way, Paul needs this. I mean, we just want to pray for all these little physical needs. That's fine. But let's get concerned about the spiritual battle. Do you hear me? Are those around you winning the battle? Are those around you walking in victory? We need to be praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the lives of His people. We need to be praying people to be coming to Christ. You see, there's so many issues more than Mama's rheumatism. And Paul is saying this, listen, the Christian life is war. And you've got to pray. You've got to pray about that war. I mean, I'm really praying for you. I'm praying God will give you victory. I know you're walking through a tough time. I pray God will help you walk through it in a way that brings honor and glory to Him, that you'll win the battle against the enemy. You know what? When Paul prayed, he never really cared what happened to his physical body. He said, you know what? If I live, it's good for you. But if I die, it's gain. I get to go to heaven. He didn't care about his physical body. He just cared about victory. That was the issue with him. And he gives a prayer request here in this verse. He does say, pray for me, but guess what he doesn't say? Oh, please pray for me. I'm in jail, and I've got these stocks on my legs, and they're really tight. I got a blister, and it's hurting, and it's infected, and I need some medicine. Please pray for me. I'm just not comfortable here. He never said that. Let's just see what his prayer request is. Look at verse 19. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. We need to be watching the body of Christ to see what the needs are. And then we pray about those needs. Do you really know the needs of the people around you? And that's really my whole idea for wanting to do Heart Friends. That somehow we can break our big Sunday school class down into smaller little groups so we can pray for each other. We can keep in touch. And I know we don't do it like we need to. But we need to be caring and praying for each other's needs. Now just think about your family and your friend group and your neighbors and those in our class and those that you're in contact with. Are you alert to their needs, to their spiritual needs, for the purpose of prayer? So we need to pray always. We need to pray with all kinds of prayer and petition. And we need to pray watching with all perseverance. And then finally, another question. Who are we to pray for? Look at the end of verse 10. Who are we to pray for? All the saints. All the saints. You say, I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. You're either a saint or an ain't. Saints are Christians. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. I'm Saint Teresa. I kind of like that. And we're to pray for each other. Now, did you notice something? It did not say here, I want you to pray for yourselves. It didn't say that. It's that I want you to pray for others, all the saints. It's such a blessing when we become people of prayer. And we pray for one another. This is the way the body of Christ grows in love. And this is the way we become one. We just get lost in each other's needs. And this is something, ladies, that we have to learn. Paul was always praying for everybody else. I love Paul. I've spent my whole time with Paul. He's really my hero. We must lose ourselves in the real things that matter. And that's the spiritual battles of other people. Praying for the kingdom of God. Not our petty anxieties. We live such petty lives sometimes. So self-centered. Consumed with all our own interests and our own problems. And if we would just get lost in the needs of others, then that selfishness would vanish. We've got to let our little anxieties give way to greater things. The spiritual battles of other people. So let's see what we've learned. Pray always, with all varieties of prayer, being alert, watching so that you'll know the needs of how to pray, doing that with all perseverance, and then you're to pray for all the saints. But there's one more thing that I want to point out to you in the middle of this verse. And it's this. We are to pray in the Spirit. Praying in consistency with who Jesus is and what His will is. We have to learn to pray in concert with the Spirit of God. We've got to make our prayers turn into a duet, a holy duet. We're praying, the Spirit's praying, and He's ever interceding for us. Now jot down this reference, Romans 8, 27 through 28. I'm going to read it to you. It's a verse you need to really have in your mind. You see, it says there that the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Now, you feel like, Teresa, I'm just so weak in prayer. I mean, I'm really a novice at this thing, and I want to grow in regards. Well, don't be discouraged. You see, the Spirit helps us, it says, in our weakness. Because look what it says. We do not know how to pray as we should. But then it says, but the Spirit Himself, who's in us, guess what He does? He intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And He, the Spirit, who searches the hearts and the mind of the Spirit, He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see, you have a helper in prayer. He's in you. And He'll take your pitiful little prayers. Don't worry about it. He'll make them right in God's eyes. He's interceding for us. Now, how do we do this? Well, I think it takes us back to 5:18. By simply walking in the fullness of the Spirit continuously. Having our lives filled with the Spirit. Walking in obedience. Constantly communing with His presence in our lives. Letting His Spirit govern our thoughts so that our prayers are in harmony with the Spirit. You know, I can just get before God. And I can cry from the depths of my heart. And the Spirit is there to help me. And the Spirit hears my prayers. He makes them acceptable in God's eyes. So our lives are to be an open communication. And this is the pattern. This is our pattern. Now, the warfare was there. Paul was facing the enemy nose to nose as he was a prisoner in Rome. The battle was tough. He needed prayer. And so he says, pray that I would have boldness, that the spiritual battle would be won, that I won't lose courage. And then in verses 21 through 22, he says, now I'm going to send you Tychicus. See, Tychicus was going to take that letter and bring it to those in Ephesus. And when he gets there, Tychicus is going to give you all the information you need so you'll know exactly how to pray. Do you need information when you pray? You need to know, how can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? He's going to tell you how our battle is going. Now, we need to learn to pray about spiritual things. And that means we've got to open our lives to each other so we can pray. We've got to really communicate. We've got to share our struggles. We've got to share the battle. We've got to share our victories. And we've got to carry each other's burdens in prayer. and each other's cares. So we end with a lesson on prayer. We are to be God conscious, selfless, watchful, filled with the Spirit, persistent, bold, seeking only God's glory in our prayers. And when we live this way, the body will be built up and God is glorified and the kingdom advances with great benefit. And so Paul closes with a benediction. Just let me read it to you as we close our study as well. Peace be to the brethren and the sister, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this study in Ephesians. Thank you for this word on prayer. Thank you for challenging us this morning to live a life just in your presence, God conscious that you're our audience and our lives are open and laid bare before you, God, that we might just have this constant communication as we're walking in our daily lives. And that, Father, you'll impress us to pray for each other. Get outside of our own little self-centered circles and ask about what are your needs? How can I pray for you? Challenge us, God, to be more caring, to fight the battle together, shield by shield, interlock together, advancing your kingdom. We pray your kingdom would come through us. Father, help us to just learn these truths and to live them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.